And welcome back, Margaret B. Here again, Bicycle Indiana, a podcast like Behind Bars. Wow, we've had a lot of great recordings this week. I'm just really excited that people are reaching out and wanting to be part of this podcast series. So again, if you are interested in wanting to be interviewed by me and talk about the great things that you're doing across the state of Indiana for cycling and, you know, walking, outdoor recreational activities, as I call it, shout out, you know, give me a call, email me, go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org, or check us out on social media. But yeah, episode 9, I think. Again, still new to this, trying to figure things out. And of course, I can't remember what episode we're on. But this discussion is with something that I wish I had more time to go out to this area of the state and ride and just walk and hike and camp. But Brown County State Park and the Hoosier National Forest in the southern part of Indiana is known for its beautiful terrain, roads, as well as mountain biking. So this episode, I have a great discussion with Alan Brown that is part of an organization called Brown County Mountain Biking. And he just kind of talks about the ins and the outs of running a nonprofit that specifically works with the trail system, and I should say trail systems, and with a state park. So I really hope you enjoy this discussion with Alan and I, and we talk about mountain biking as well as different connectivity that's happening in Nashville, Indiana. And there are some big things happening down in Nashville. So I hope you really enjoy. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here with Bicycle Indiana Executive Director. We started these podcasts about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Still new to this, but really excited to record some great discussions with great people across the state of Indiana doing great things on bikes. But I've got somebody here that's really neat, that's doing something great down in the Nashville, Brown County area. And I'm really excited to introduce Alan and have him talk about Brown County mountain biking. So, Alan, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Margaret. Yeah, my name is Alan Brown. I'm president of Brown County Mountain Biking. So we're basically we were a chapter of HMBA until a couple of years ago, and we kind of set out to become our own 501c3, and you know, kind of became the group or entity that's responsible for the trail system in Brown County and the surrounding areas.
Awesome. And are you located in Nashville, Indiana?
I live in Nashville, Indiana. And then of course, obviously the organization's based out of Nashville.
Nice. Nice. So for our listeners, since we're using some acronyms here, and I know I've talked a little bit about IMBA and HMBA and other calls, but sure, do you want to describe to our listeners what one IMBA is, IMBA, and then HMBA, which is a local group?
Yeah. So, IMBA is the International Mountain Biking Association. It's a nationwide organization that really is it's a great lobbying group. They do a lot of work at the national level to promote trails and to help get and maintain access to trail systems. Mm-hmm. HMBA is a state level organization that manages a few of the trail systems in Indiana. Gosh, I can't think of all the ones that they manage, but the trail systems around Indianapolis, Albana, and a few others mm-hmm. are all part of HMBA. And then Brown County Mountain Bike Association, our focus is really on the trails in this area, in this sure. region. So the Brown County State Park trails, the Yellowwood Trails, Crooked Creek, and then the Hoosier National Forest trail system. So, okay. you know, all in all, we have close to 100 miles of trails that you can get to from the park when you connect everything together.
I'm going to write those down so I can ask more questions later. And for our listeners, Brown County is just such a gem. And I don't think a lot of people, maybe people do know that. And I don't get down there enough to one, because I don't know the trail systems. Maybe I need to just call you, but I know I will get lost. But you do have an incredible trail system. But on top of it, I'm going to ask some questions about just not necessarily about mountain biking trails, but specific just connectivity I want to talk about. So really excited for you to be here. Like I said, Brown County is a gem for the state and has some of the best mountain biking in the area. But let's kind of dive into Brown County mountain biking and talk about your mission and your goals. So what is the mission? Obviously, you kind of touched on it, you know, maintaining and helping the trail systems. But what are some more specifics about the mission of the organization?
Yeah, I mean, really, we came together so that we could get a focus on, so that we could get people focused on this area and this trail system. So some of the things that we're really trying to do is form strong relationships with the county, with the town, and really help work with the town and county so that they have a better understanding of the resources that, that we have, the trail system that we have. You know, if you look at some of the, you know, kind of some adventure towns throughout the country, and you think of places, Bentonville, Arkansas, or, you know, Brevard, North Carolina, or Steamboat, Colorado, and you think of these places and you think of the mountain biking trail systems that they have and the way that the town has kind of rallied behind that, or the county, the area, and everything else. Sure. These are great places and great destinations. We've got all the ingredients for that. We've got an amazing trail system. We've certainly got one of the top trail systems in the country. We've not done a good job in the past of integrating the trails into the, I guess, into the town and into the county, right? It's one of the things that we've kind of said is, like, you know, people come here from, you know, Indianapolis, people come here from Cincinnati, people come here from Louisville. They drive here, they ride the trails, and then they head out of town to go grab something to eat or to head back. What we really want people to encourage people to do is to come here, stay, come to town, stay, you know, check out some of the restaurants, some of the breweries, some of the other places, and, you know, come back. There's a lot of people that have, you know, discovered this place through mountain biking, gravel bike, road bike, and just cycling in general, and have decided to make this place a, where they want to live, where they want to stay. That's one of the main reasons that we moved down here.
Yeah.
So we're trying to promote that, promote this as an adventure area, as an adventure town, and get, you know, the town and county behind it. You know, we've got the trail system. There's miles of trails that have been built throughout the years with, you know, HMBA and with all the effort that's gone into it. We've got an amazing trail system. Now we just need to make this an adventure destination, or help promote this as an adventure destination to get, you know, people to come here and enjoy it.
Yeah. I agree. I love how you put that and explained it, because I think it is something that is important for the state of Indiana. And I've been to, like, for example, Bentonville, and I'm from Michigan originally, and riding Brown County is a special treat. And I think a lot of people don't realize the amount of time and effort and planning that goes into maintaining the trails, but also just making it, like you said, a fun, inclusive experience for all types of riders.
Yeah, we've got one of the few places. I mean, you can start in the park, for example, at the swimming pool entrance, right? So if you hop on a mountain bike there, so basically where Epic starts, you can do 100 miles of trail riding from there. You can ride through the park. You can connect to Crooked Creek. You can ride all the way out into Hoosier National Forest. Sure. And with possibly maybe a mile or so of paved road that you have to touch in that mix, you can get around 100 miles of single track. And there's not a lot of places in the country, or certainly not around here, that you can do that.
Right.
So, you know, you mentioned, you know, Michigan, the trail systems up there are great. And it's been really great. What I've seen in traveling to all of these places is where you get this, when you have the strong relationship between the town and the trail system, or the people that are, you know, working with the trails or building the trails, you know, it's amazing what these towns can do. And that's really what we're trying to push for.
Sure. So I guess that was my next thing on my list. What I wanted to ask you was, describe Brown County. And obviously I can do my description, which is, you know, somebody that doesn't live there and that comes, you know, every once or twice a year. But how would you describe Brown County? You know, I would really like for you to kind of dive a little more into the different trail systems. For example, you mentioned Yellowwood, Crooked Creek, obviously the state park with its trail system, and then the Hoosier National Forest. But I hear those names all the time, and I did not realize that those were single track trails. I always just thought they were like a gravel road or you know, or two track trails. And I've done gravel. I've done Death March, which we talked with Dino a couple of podcasts ago about those races. But do you want to dive into those different trail systems?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, a lot of people are familiar with the park trail systems, and those, you know, definitely get the most traffic. And we've started doing some trail counts out there. And, you know, because nobody really has good data on how many people ride those trails. And we have a new park manager at the state park here. And, you know, that was one of the things that he was really interested in, seeing what the numbers, how many people actually come here to ride. The town has no idea. The county has no idea. So we started doing some rough trail counts. And we kind of started to open some eyes. So basically on a normal weekday, we put trail counters at two of the entrances. So what we can't tell is, you know, if one person is doing laps or if we're counting the same person twice. We haven't quite been able to narrow that down yet. We're working on it. But, you know, on a normal weekday, decent weather weekday, we're seeing between 150 to 250 riders per day during the week. On a normal weekend, that number jumps to, you know, 250 to 300, riders per, I guess, trail counter. So, you know, somewhere between 150 to, you know, 300 people per day during the week, and somewhere between 250 to 500 people per day on the weekend.
Sure.
So, you know, at first glance, you think, oh my gosh, that's a huge number. But if you've been out here and riding these trails, it makes sense. It brings a lot of people here, and it brings a lot of people here year round. So the trails within the park, we have a pretty good mix of trails for all skill levels, pretty good mix of trails for whatever somebody, you know, wants to ride or what wants to experience. You know, we've got quite a bit of elevation here. So, you know, Indiana's not completely flat in this area. We certainly have some hills. So in a typical, you know, 10-mile ride, you're probably going to see 1,000 feet of elevation gain. So 1,000 feet of climbing for 10 miles or so.
Sure.
But, you know, we've got a solid mix of flowy rolling type of trails. We've got a solid mix of more technical trails. You had mentioned the getting lost piece of it. I think last year one of our big projects was the trail signage and trail maps.
That's great.
So, now at every intersection in the trail system, there's a numbered map that shows you where you are, shows you your location on the map, QR code that'll take you to Trail Forks so you can download the maps. And then all of the trails are now signed within the park. So the in the park trail system it's pretty well marked and pretty well signed now. We are in the process of signing some routes. So like one of the things I noticed in one of our trips to Michigan was a lot of the trail systems up there will have a suggested route mark. So, you know, you're not trying to, if you're new to the system or if you haven't ridden the trails yet, you're not trying to piece it together as you go. You follow the pink loop or whatever, and it takes you on a 20-mile moderate level course or moderate level thing. So we've started signing some of those. We did a competition last year to get some suggested trail routes. So I think the first one was marked this week. So we're kind of starting to see how that goes and play with it a little bit and see if we can get some interest around it. But that's the kind of within the park system. So sure. Within the park, as you're heading out from the pink directions here, I guess south, as you go out by the campground, 10 o'clock line connects the park system to Yellowwood and the Crooked Creek trail system. So as you go out to Crooked Creek, I think Crooked Creek's probably about 5 or 6 mile loop around the lake out there. And that trail system is a little bit more technical, a little bit more kind of a backwoods feel. It doesn't have the machine built feel of some of the flow trails that we have in the park.
And it's a much more kind of backwards, much more secluded. Not nearly as many people ride out there, but it's just absolutely beautiful. The terrain's beautiful. The lake is beautiful, and you're a little bit further out. You certainly don't have to ride from the park to get there. I think Crooked Creek Road is the gravel road that heads out that way. I'm out towards the TC Steel area, but that's another great trail connected to the park.
Absolutely.
On Crooked Creek, there's, let me think, there's Miller Bridge and Lucas Hollow, a few more kind of trails that are out in that general area that are certainly different kind of terrain, different style than what's in the park itself, more kind of a backwoods experience. And then from there, you can connect, I believe it's Trail D over towards Blue Creek, and you end up coming out over around Story. So once you kind of get to that area, now you've got access to Combs Road and Nebo Bridge. Yeah, so Combs Road, you know, from Gravel Grovel and from Death March. Nebo, one of the first, mountain bike trails in the area, is still there and still going strong. Mm-hmm. And again, a much different feel than what's within the park. So those trails are definitely more backwoods, more, a little bit more remote trails. And from there, you can go into the other trails that are available in Hoosier National. So I know Jesse and Chase at have an event coming up that's going to be a backwoods mountain bike race that connects a lot of, I think, Hoosier Down Country is the name of the race. That is going to incorporate a lot of those trails, some of the more remote trails in Hoosier National that a lot of people don't even know about. So
that's great.
I think on our website, we do have a kind of a map that you links do. All of those trails together and shows how they all connect. And we're working on getting, adding some kiosk type information at some of the trailheads in the park so that you can see, from the north lot, the swimming pool parking lot, the way all the trails connect and interconnect. At the Epic event, our big fundraiser that's coming up in October, some of those routes will be in the suggested on the suggested route list, so that people can, if they want to do it, they can do some of these longer 70, 80, 100-mile rides and see how it all connects.
So that was what I was going to talk about, so our listeners knew. So on their website, browncountymtb.org, there is a trails tab that has a lot of information with great descriptions, and then also using, is it Trail Forks, you said? Yep.
Yeah, Trail Forks is the one that we try to keep everything updated on. I mean, there's a few different mapping apps out there. Trail Forks is the one that we, focus on keeping updated and up to date.
So two questions I wrote down while we were talking about these specific trails. So state park pass is required to get into the state park, and you can get an annual or there's a daily. But there is, I do know for our listeners, if you are new to mountain biking and you are going to ride trails, what does the front gate ask you about paying an extra fee for mountain biking? Do you want to maybe touch base on that?
Yeah, there is. There's a, if you're riding anything, I guess it's more difficult than a beginner trail, they ask you to get a cycling pass or a bicycle pass. It's, I don't know exactly what they call it, but an off-road cycling pass or something like that.
Yeah.
And they do an annual pass, and I think they do a daily pass option for that as well. It's not terribly expensive.
It's like $5 or something. Like
$15, something. Yeah. It's something in that range. And they do count. That was one of the counts that they actually have. So they do have an idea of how many of those passes they sell. Mm-hmm. But that certainly doesn't correlate to the number of people that come there to ride directly. Sure. So you are going there to ride the beginner trails or the green trails.
You don't need it.
You don't need that pass. Okay. You can ride anything above that, and then you need the pass. And then for Hoosier National, you also need a pass to ride in Hoosier
National. That was my next question. So Yellowwood and Crooked Creek, you don't, but Brown County State Park, as well as Hoosier National Forest, you do need a pass.
I think that's correct. I'm not positive on Crooked Creek. I'm not positive on Crooked Creek. No, I've never thought about that, whether you needed
the pass for Crooked Creek or not. I'll have to find out. That's a great question. I've got the annual pass, so I've never really thought that much about it.
I do too. So the next question I had was direction. Now, the only reason I bring this up, because I had a moment where I was riding with a friend. We were lost and we were climbing. And I thought I was climbing Hesitation Point. And I'm like, man, we're climbing this. Mm-hmm. We're killing it. And then I saw a big jump or drop. And I thought, oh, my gosh, we're on Hobbs Hollow. So what trails are directional, and what, like, are all trails directional? Are they, you know, both directions? I know Hobbs Hollow is one way, and that's a specific downhill trail. Do you want to go into that specifically?
Yeah. So the only two trails out there, well, I guess there's three technically. So Hobbs is definitely one way downhill, and Gnawbone is one way downhill. Okay. So you might've been going up Gnawbone, depending on when you went out there.
No idea.
Yeah. So Hobbs and Gnawbone are one way downhill. And then Limekiln is one way, and it alternates. So basically depending on the day of the week, it flips daily clockwise to counterclockwise. And it's assigned at the entrances, you know, which day, which direction kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So all the other trails right now are two-way trails, and all of the other trails are open to hikers as well. So that's something that, certainly be aware of when you're on the trail system, that all the trails are open to hikers. Trail D and part of 10 o'clock, I think trail D, but part of 10 o'clock are also open to horse riders.
That's
something to definitely be aware of when you're taking, connecting the park out to Crooked Creek, you know, be aware of the sections where you may encounter horses. Mm-hmm. But as far as the one-way trail systems, the only ones in the park, Gnawbone and Hobbs, and then Limekiln is the trail that alternates.
Nice.
Every other day.
Yep. So speaking of trails, I have two things written down. I want to talk about new trails and also kind of like connectivity. So I know that you mm-hmm. were working really hard with the city of Nashville to not only just create trails that are in the park, like mountain bike trails, but you were trying to create trails that are connecting other things. Can we like talk about that? Because I think that's something really exciting to discuss, you know, for the city of Nashville.
Yeah, of course. So there's one of the kind of a long-term goal is to get the park and the town connected. So the Salt Creek Trail is that main connection. And it's over the years, it's been pieces of it are built and pieces of it are not finished yet. So mm-hmm. The goal of that trail is to go all the way from the park entrance to downtown Nashville. So it starts at CVS kind of in downtown Nashville, mm-hmm. runs behind Brown County and YMCA. It stops now at the Music Center and then picks up a little bit closer to the park at where the Hesitation Point Bike Shop used to be, where the Red Barn is.
Okay.
So it picks up there and then goes into the park. So there's about a mile section that's not quite complete that the town and county are working on, applying for grants, trying to get that one little section finished.
Sure.
So now it's still a pretty easy ride from the park into town. Unfortunately, you have to hop on 46 for about a mile-ish, mm-hmm. But it's not a bad ride into town. So that's one of the things that we're certainly trying to get open to finish, to finalize. We're also working on with the park to try to get access to an old horse trail.
Okay.
So Trail G, I believe it's Trail G, basically connects from Mike's Dance Barn into the park system.
Okay.
So we're working with the park, working with all of the parties involved to see if this is something that we get access to. But the idea of that is it creates some more gravel access, because Trail G would connect to Bond Cemetery Road, which would allow people to access some of the gravel roads in Brown County, loop through the park, connect to the TC Steel area, the McGowan area, some of the popular gravel routes, mm-hmm. and keep people off of the highway.
Okay.
So that's one that we're super hopeful about, but we haven't, we're still working to see if we can get that approved. May never happen, but we're certainly working on it, because again, the idea is, you know, the the more we can keep, cyclists safe and kind of off some of the main streets, the better that's going to be. And then if we create some bigger gravel loops, it gives, as well as I do, that gravel popularity is huge. You know, the race in Eminence last week was a good success, and, great success. And Mark's done some phenomenal stuff out there. So, we know that people like to ride gravel. We see people riding the gravel roads here quite a bit. And, we're trying to make some more options for that. We'll likely include a gravel option for Epic this year.
That's great.
Which that will be new, but we're working on some possible routes to see if there's a way that we can create a gravel route from Epic. So, it'll certainly utilize some of the same trails and let people see that, that we've got some options down here to ride when the trails are too muddy. So
a good transition, because you talked about this and it's on my list of questions, is we talked about this on my last podcast with this City of Lebanon and Stoneater Bike Park, which is that new bike park that's being built on a landfill, and working together with different entities such as the county, the city, nonprofits, a contracted business that's maybe trail building or, just contracted work. How does that all kind of work, and how is it going, in the city of Nashville and working with the county and the state park? How's that all going?
It's going really well. I mean, we've developed a really good relationship with the town. We're working on developing better relationships with the county and some of the organizations. It's interesting here. There's a lot of different organizations that are involved in that. You have the Brown County Community Foundation. You have the Convention and Visitor Center. You've got the county boards that run this. So it's really an interesting. It's really been interesting trying to sort out all of the different entities and how everybody can kind of play together. Because it's what we found out is everybody knows the mountain bike trails are here, but it's never really been. It's always sort of been separate from everything that everybody's done. So trying to pull all that together has been, it's been interesting and it's been a lot of fun. But right now we've got a really good relationship with the town. We've got a pretty good relationship with the county, and we're certainly improving that. We have a great relationship with the land managers, the state park, Scott, who has taken over as manager of the state park, has been phenomenal to work with. We have a really good relationship with him, really good relationship with the land managers at Yellowwood, and even with Hoosier National. So, we're certainly working on seeing how we can get all of these organizations to, work together and really promote not just the trails, but this area as a center for cycling in Indiana and the Midwest and in the country, really.
No, that's great. So,
I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but one of the things that we've been able to, I guess, use to help pull everybody together is, we're currently an IMBA Bronze Trail Center. So, that kind of adventure towns that we mentioned, Bentonville, some of the towns in Copper Harbor, Brevard, some of these systems that are in this top trail tier systems with the IMBA ratings, we're a bronze trail system, and that's phenomenal. One of the things that we've been set as a goal for this year is to see how far up that list we can get bumped, right? So we made it a goal for the year to get bumped up to a silver designation. So we've been working with IMBA. They've had a few things that they've been working on internally. So hopefully this fall we'll be able to get them down here to see if we can do reevaluate that. But the more we looked at it and the more we looked into it, while silver was what we set as a gold, we think it was set as the goal. Gold may be something that we can attain. If we look at some of the other things that are going on countywide, the pump track project that we've been a part of, there's a potential to do a downhill park on the north side of town, that we'll certainly be a part of as well. There's a lot getting that has helped us all the support from all these organizations. but you know, it's something that we're still working on, still kind of navigating to figure out how we can all, you know, work together to
make it happen.
Really make it happen. Really get us on a map, on the map as a, you know, a cycling destination.
Absolutely. So again, that was your just perfect timing in your discussion. So new trails, obviously I have on my list, the pump track. I know Kate Nolan and Brown County Bikes has updated me a couple of times about grants and funding, but let's talk about this pump track that's being built.
Sure. Yeah. The, we worked with, Kate and Danielle to, on their, they did an IMBA grant, with us. So that helped raise, I think, $10,000 or so. So $10,000 or $11,000, something like that. So that money's coming in. We'll put that in the mix with some of their other fundraising. So I think they've raised probably close to $50,000 or $60,000 in that project so far. So that's been a great collaboration between Brown County Bikes, Kate and Danielle, the county. So that pump track will be on county property in one of the county parks, Deer Run Park. That's also, there's also a plan to connect that park to town and to the rest of the trail system through that same Salt Creek Trail. Okay. So if you look at kind of the, you know, big future picture, you'll be able to go from the state park through Salt Creek Trail into downtown Nashville. From downtown Nashville along the continuation of the Salt Creek Trail to the pump track at Deer Run. So the idea that all of this will be connected. So, you know, Kate and Danielle at Brown County Bikes have certainly done, have pushed for that and done all the work. That's not a project that we will, we'll certainly support it, but it's their project. I don't want to mislead anybody into thinking that, you know, we're taking the lead on that or anything. We're certainly supporting it, but it's Kate and Danielle's project and we'll support them as best we can. As part of the, our Epic event, I think they're going to raffle a bike to raise more money for that. So, so yeah, I think it, we certainly think it's going to be great. Anything that we can do to get, you know, more people on bikes, and certainly more people on bikes and to get, you know, kids on bike and the younger generation on bikes. So,
well, you know, that strikes a, you know, a deep spot in my heart coming from the background of NICA and getting kids on bikes across the state. So,
Getting kids on bikes and getting kids excited about it is definitely something that's, you know, that we want to do and we want to push for.
Absolutely.
We do need to work with, I do need to reach out to NICA at some point, and see what we can do to, help them or work with them. Cause we'd certainly love to see what we could do to get a NICA event hosted at the park. So I don't know what that would take or that's even possible.
There's some things I know that you guys need to make happen to make it work. But the biggest concern I remember when I surveyed Brown County was there was no EMS access.
That's an interesting topic. So that's a, I don't want to hijack the conversation, but that's one thing that we've been working with the state park on, is the EMS access. One of our board members had an accident on her bike a few weeks ago and had to get medevaced out. So certainly near and dear to our heart, it's how do we help the park decrease the response time so that they can more efficiently get people out? And you know, that's something that we're working very closely with them on, not only on, you know, making sure that they have the right equipment, which we've already had some discussions that whatever equipment we can help buy, we certainly will. But also, you know, the trail mapping that we put in place, the idea of putting the QR codes at every trail marker was really to help people figure out where they were in case of an emergency. So that, you know, we don't want people to get lost down in the where Shelley and Hesitation Point and Knobbone and all that comes together. It's confusing, right? What? So we want to make sure people know how, where they are so they can get out. And we want to make sure that we do the best that we can to help train the first responders so that they know where to go and know the most efficient and quickest ways to get to some of these places. So that's certainly an ongoing project, and it's one that's super important to us. Is, you know, we've got this great trail system. How do we make sure that when somebody does get hurt, they can get out as quickly as can?
Mountain biking is dangerous, and cell service in Brown County isn't the best either.
Cell service in Brown County is definitely not the best. Verizon seems to be a little bit better than some of the other carriers, but there's spots on the trail where it's definitely
And luckily you have IU pretty close with Bloomington, and that is a level, is it two or is it level three trauma? I just remember knowing that if you needed to be flown out to a hospital, IU was a good close option. But no, bike safety is really important. And I think not only just Brown County, but all parks need to be aware that mountain biking is dangerous. Biking is dangerous. And when you are having fun and not always paying attention, you do make, you know, decisions and mistakes, and sometimes they don't end really great. And mountain biking is, you know, like I said, dangerous, and being able to communicate, you know, to the EMS or somebody that's at the trailhead to try to find you is really important. There was a park in Michigan when I first started riding, and I loved their signage. And I think you did something similar, but each post, each mile marker, they had a post that had a number, and it said, call 911, and you would give the number of where you were at or the closest one. And the EMS that was local knew exactly where to find you. And I thought that was something that was really neat for that trail system.
Yeah. And that we have, that's kind of similar to what we've done at every intersection. We have a map with a number, and those numbers are unique. So if you can give the park or the 911 dispatcher your, that number and that location, they know pretty much exactly where you are. The other side of that is we've got to do a little bit more training, I think, with the local EMS to make sure that they can get to those locations efficiently as possible.
Definitely. Well, here at Griffin, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I would say here at Griffin, the Shepherds of Griffin and Richmore worked really hard on a grant that actually supplied a race course for the Nika kids. It was developed for that style of racing, which is younger riders and new riders, but it also acted as an adaptive trail for wheelchair-based mountain bikes, but also it was a maintenance route and EMS route for Rich or an EMS vehicle or a Kubota or, you know, an ATV to get back to somebody if needed. And it's given access to so many different things, whether you're a rider or you're Richmore trying to get back into the trail system with, you know, some type of big equipment, you know, that you need to take a tree down or something like that. So I think your guys are doing a great job in your area.
Yeah, that's great. There are a lot of fire roads. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been grown up a little bit that allow, you know, EMS personnel to get to some of those points quickly. And we're working on, that's actually one of the new things we're kind of working on, is a fire road EMS map that would be used by first responders so that they could overlay the fire roads in with the trail system so they could help find it. So, you know, most of our fire roads here are not, you're not supposed to ride bikes on the fire roads in case of an emergency kind of thing. But, you know, the fire roads on a lot of our trail systems aren't meant for riding bikes on. So we kind of kept those off of most of the trail maps to try to discourage people from riding trails they're not authorized to ride. But we need to do a better job of making sure that, EMS has access to that.
Yeah.
The other thing that we're working on that you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned it, is the adaptive cycling part of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the other goals that we have is to help make as many of our trails accessible to, you know, accessible or adaptive bikes as possible. It's been, an interesting project in itself because, you know, the U.S., we've not been able to find a good clear standard for what a adaptive bike accessible trail means. Canada seems to have much better standards than we do. So we've been working with some of the adaptive riders that are local to see, you know, what do you need? What would you like for us to, what can we do to make these trails more accessible for you? And a lot of the trails here are, for example, Lime Kiln is pretty accessible for an adaptive bike. 10 o'clock line, some of the other trails, I'm trying to think, Weed Patch. We do have a lot of trails that people are riding adaptive bikes on and having a great time. But there's also a few points that they can't get through, typically because of the width of the bike. So we're working with the park to see if there's a couple of areas that with a little bit of Basically, if we add a couple of bypass trails, it opens up a huge section of the park to adaptive riders. So that's something that we're working with the park right now, working with Scott to see if we can, you know, I think we're kind of, once Knobbone was finished, I think the plan was fulfilled for the mountain bike trails within the park. And I don't think the intent was to really add more trail mileage inside of the park. But now that we're seeing the increase in use of the adaptive cyclists, and really that we have something that they can use, if we make a few minor, I won't say modifications, but if we make a few, if we add a couple of go-arounds and spots, then it basically opens up miles of trails to that user group. And that seems like something that we can easily do that opens up our trail system for, you know, a lot more riders. So and we're working on that. So unfortunately we can't, until we figure out until we figure out what the guidelines are for calling the trails adaptive or whatever, we've got to sort all that out, because it's, you know, we certainly don't want to, we don't want to say anything that misleads a rider into thinking that, you know, they're not going to have any issues and then create a problem.
Sure.
So we're working on that. So,
speaking,
that's one of our other goals, is we want more miles of adaptive for the adaptive riders. So
speaking of that, e-bikes, we got to talk about e-bikes. I know I've seen on your Facebook group, I've seen it on, you know, different discussions. E-bikes are allowed, or they are not allowed in Brown County State Park?
Class one e-bikes are allowed. The pedal assist up to 20 miles an hour are allowed in the park and in Yellowwood.
Okay.
They're not currently allowed in Hoosier National.
Okay.
So just to make sure everybody understands that, the bikes that have the throttles, the electric motorcycles, absolutely not. But the pedal assist class one, you know, up to 20 miles per hour, is allowed in the park and is allowed at Circuit Creek.
Okay.
Not allowed in Hoosier National.
If individuals on the call that are listening that are like, man, I don't even know what type of e-bike my e-bike is, or I want to get an e-bike, we have a very fun pocket-sized law card that we had printed that is free. And you guys can just contact us, but it has everything you could imagine about e-bikes for the state of Indiana, including laws, general e-bike requirements, and then the e-bike classes, and even how to dispose of batteries. So I'm going to do a little quick plug for our resources, and I'm happy to send anything to you, Alan, if you want to have down where you're at. But again, a pocket-sized e-bike law card we have printed for our resources. So, okay, good. So e-bikes are in. I love it. It brings accessibility. I've got some more questions that I'm going to try to transition into. The one that I really want to talk about is events. So I'm on your webpage, browncountymtb.org. One, I want to talk about the breakdown, the Epic. I know that there are probably maybe two different events. I'm not sure. But I also want to talk about group rides and then work days, trail work days. So let's first talk about trail work days. So how can people get involved? What can they do? What kind of events for trail work do you have?
So trail work days are the last Saturday of the month. We send out email information to members, and we usually post it. We always post it on the Facebook site. So the last Saturday of the month is always the trail work days. We have Big Woods provides pizza, Quaff provides beer. We provide the tools. You don't need any experience whatsoever. If you've never done a trail work day, that's fine. But we could always use help. So, you know, we've got a lot of miles of trails that we try to maintain. So, you know, all the help we can get is greatly appreciated. We do have some trail volunteer rewards points that we implemented this year. So
that's great.
You know, if you work enough trail hours, I think you get a park pass, you get the bicycle pass, you get at some point you can work enough hours to get membership. At some point, I think you can work enough hours for your Epic entry to be paid for.
Oh, that's
so great. You know, we've got a lot of incentives there for people to come out and help. We welcome kids' help. So, I mean, one of our board members brings her entire family out for the trail work days, and We have an entire crew of NICA kids that comes out and helps us do trail work, and it's phenomenal. So typically we'll say before the trail work day, what the projects are. But, you know, there's always opportunities. We also have trail stewards assigned to each of the trails. So there's always an opportunity to volunteer to be a trail steward. If you have one particular trail that's your absolute favorite and you're here and you ride it, you know, all the time, and you want to be more active or be a trail steward, then, you know, certainly reach out to us and let us know. So we have no shortage of opportunities for Epic Breakdown. So Breakdown was the event when HMBA started. So I guess it was almost 20 years ago. About 10 years ago, the name changed to Epic, and it's been Epic from then on. So Brown County Epic, October, I don't have the date in front of me. That's embarrassing. Middle of October, Brown County Epic, our biggest fundraiser, October 10th to the 13th. So
is the official date.
Is the official date. So this Brown County Epic is our biggest fundraiser, our main fundraiser for the year. I mean, obviously we get some grant money, some merchandise sales money, things like that. But this is our big fundraiser. I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize or are surprised by is that the state park does not fund the trail building, does not do the trail building. They don't have the budget for it. So it's, you know, it's no negative reflection on the state park or the management or anything else. They just don't have the budget to build and maintain these trails. So that's kind of where we come in. So almost all of our money is raised at Epic. And one of the big, advantages to becoming our own 501c3 and focused on the area is all the money from the Epic stays in the area. So every dollar that we raise at Epic goes back to supporting this trail system. So, you know, that's we really, with that focus, it's, I think people are a lot more comfortable supporting an event if they know exactly where all the money is going to go to. So so that's our biggest fundraiser. Typically we'll have 500 to 600 people will come into town for that event. We have free primitive camping available. If you've been to that event, you know that the pool area of the park, there's a big field there that becomes a kind of a primitive camping area. And we set up kind of a vendor village in that area. So this year, we'll have more music this year. We'll do music on Friday and Saturday of the event. We're going to have more food trucks this year. So typically, we've not really had food trucks. We've had some food option, but we're bringing in food trucks this year. We'll have demo bikes again. So in the last few years, if you want to come demo some bikes, we'll have a few companies will have demo bikes there. I believe we're going to have specialized e-bikes this year for demo bikes. I'm not 100% sure on that. And we'll have to kind of watch the Facebook and the updates for that. But I know Transition is going to be there, and I believe Specialized will be there.
That's great.
So there'll be demo bikes. The vendor village is going to be a little bit bigger and a little bit different setup this year. So we're trying to get some more local companies and some people from town to get join us for the vendor village, so that we'll have a little bit more of a local focus. All of the music, we've got quite a few different musicians. I believe they're all from the area. I would say they're not all Nashville, because I know we've got a few from Bloomington, but you know, certainly all from within the region. Because again, that's kind of one of the big things that we're focused on, is promoting this area, this region, and everything that goes along with it, promoting the local restaurants, promoting the local musicians, promoting the local artists and craftspeople and everything else. So you'll hopefully kind of see that influence at this year's Epic. So it'd be a little bit bigger and a little bit better than it has been in the past, but it'll certainly have the same feel. There's quite a few different mileage options depending on you know, how you're feeling that day or how many miles you want to do. Scott Irons from ICS certainly will lead the way on one of the longer distances.
Great.
He always seems to do one of the really long ones. But, you know, there's certainly a lot of different options. We're going to have some more kids rides this year. Kate and Danielle will be doing some kids related stuff. Jesse and Chase are going to be from Bicycle Station Columbus. We'll be doing a few group rides as well. So yeah, it's going to be a great time.
That's great.
So we've got a few more bike shops that will be participating in it this year. We've reached out to, you know, some more of the local bike shops to see if they wanted space in the vendor village, and we've certainly had a lot of interest. And if anybody, you know, that's listening to this wants to take part in that vendor village, and certainly have them reach out to us, because we'd love to have you. So sure. Yeah.
So that's actually where I met Kevin Krulik, who is putting together Stoneater Bike Park out in Lebanon. I was sitting in the rain. This was before you were involved with the Epic, and I was sitting in the rain, cold, and Kevin Krulik came up to me and said, I want to build a bike park. And I said, okay. And so now 5 years later, you know, he's living the dream and he's building a bike park. But no,
that's great.
You heard it, Indiana. If you want to be part of the Epic, whether it's hanging out, riding bikes for miles, or a vendor, we'll drop some information and some contact info in the description of this podcast. But speaking of getting involved, another thing I've written down on my sheet of paper, membership. So let's talk about membership. How can people get involved specifically? Obviously, work days, you can volunteer your time, but there is a membership option on your page. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, the membership option is great. I think our membership is around $39, something like that. It's not terribly expensive. But it's the reason that we like members, and I mean, we want members, we want volunteers. We want to be able to support the trail system, right? We can't do that without members. We're a volunteer organization. We don't have any, you know, paid positions. We don't have an executive director. Everybody's volunteering, and we pull most of our volunteers from our membership. We have around 150 members at this point, which is great. I mean, we just officially started as our own 501c3, I think 2 years ago, ish. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of interest, and a lot of people, you know, believe in our mission, believe in what we're doing, and we've gotten a lot of support. Membership is great for us because it helps us when we're having conversations with all the entities that we talked about earlier, when we're talking to the county, when we're talking to the town, when we're talking to the state, you know, the government and things like that. Being able to show the strength of our membership is priceless. Right? If we're a membership of 10 people, it's a different conversation than we're a membership of 150 people representing this area and interests from across the state. So get involved. You know, if Brown County Mountain Biking, if this area is not the your trail system of choice, then I would strongly suggest that you join or sign up with whatever organization, you know, maintains the trails that you like to ride. I mean, HMBA represents a lot of the trail systems throughout the state. I'm a member of HMBA and a member of Brown County Mountain Biking because I want to make sure that I can, you know, support these organizations as best that I can, the organizations that are fighting to keep trail access and, you know, helping to, you know, maintain the trails that we have.
Sure.
It's a super low price point, and, you know, that membership goes a long way in helping our organization, HMBA, you know, the other organizations throughout the state, do what they need to do. So, if you like to ride mountain bikes, keep in mind that those trails don't build themselves, and your tax dollars probably not being used to build them. You know, sign up and join your local organization and be active as you can. But, you know, for years I could join and I didn't have the time to do trail work, and that's okay. Don't be upset about that, and don't let anybody guilt you into that. We're all busy. We've all got, you know, obligations that we need to fulfill. And, you know, if you only have time to ride and don't ever have time to do trail work, that's fine. I'm not mad at you. Just sign up and support your organization however you can.
Definitely. So browncountymtb.org is your website. It looks like you've got Facebook and Instagram. Is there any other information that we could talk about right now specifically to getting connected with you or donating? It looks like you have Donate Trail Karma Is that something to talk about?
Trail Karma is on there. Yeah, that's on the website. I think that's through Trail Forks, so that you can do it. The best way to support us directly is through the website. Through the website, there's a membership link. You can sign up for Epic through our website. Or through Biker Edge. You can sign up for Epic through Biker Edge if that's your preference. But we certainly encourage potential members to go through the website. We also have a ton of merchandise on our page. I mean, the metal maps that we created. So the maps that went in last year, we actually sell those on the website. Mm-hmm. And it's been unbelievably successful. I was shocked at how many people wanted maps for their garage, but they make great Christmas gifts, and we've sold a bunch of them, I guess. So
that's great.
I think we just released some new hats, so that stuff's kind of fun. We're trying to get some of that in some of the local shops for sale, so we'll do that here in the next few months probably. But yeah, go to the website, the Facebook page. I mean, there's a few different Facebook pages out there, so make sure you find the one that's the Brown County mountain biking one. I would encourage listeners to check out the website, look at what we're doing, reach out to us. I mean, there's any of the board members would be happy to have a conversation if you had any questions. I'm certainly happy to have a conversation with anybody that has any questions about what we're doing. Reach out. If there's something that, again, we're a volunteer organization, reach out. We will have our board member elections will be coming up later this fall. So we'll likely have a spot or two open up if anybody's really interested in volunteering and wants to be on the board. We're certainly, we're always, welcoming board members and welcoming people who want to become involved. We have a very, very good board, and we have had for the last couple of years. We've got an amazing board, a bunch of amazing, people that are really pulling all of this stuff together, and it's been phenomenal. But we could always use more help. So, I'm not sure how many spots will be open this fall, but if you have an interest, then, certainly reach out. We'd love to talk to you.
Nice. So browncountymtb.org, I'll drop information into the description of the podcast, Facebook and Instagram. My last question for you, Alan, and this is the most important question. What is your favorite trail?
I would say I have two. I think In the Park, Bobcat is definitely my favorite.
Bless your heart. That trail scares the crap out of me. I ended up upside down on it.
My wife went down a ravine in it last week when we rode it. So yeah, it's a
difficult trail.
It is difficult. It's one of the black ones. It's not the most difficult. Spooner is the most difficult one out there. But Bobcat's my favorite, and then In the Park, and then I really like Crooked Creek.
Okay, nice.
Crooked Creek is a really, really good trail. It's got a good feel to it. So
good feel to it.
Those are my two favorites. In the Park, Bobcat, and then Crooked Creek would be at the top of my list also.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciated all of the information, the discussion, lots of great things happening in Nashville, Indiana, at Brown County State Park and surrounding areas in the Hoosier National Forest. Thank you, Alan Brown, for being here on the podcast. Again, browncountymtb.org. Really excited to have this discussion. I'll edit this as soon as I can, and I will hopefully post it within the next couple of weeks. And awesome. I really, again, appreciate your time, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you very much. Right. And hopefully we'll see you at Epic this year.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.